All right, welcome to church, and specifically Capital Baptist Church. And on top of that, we're going to talk about welcoming. We're talking about welcoming the lost. Please take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and I want to thank you today for being here. And in your program is a study guide of our message for today, and I hope that you will dig through there and find that. If you're new to our church, this is something I provide pretty much every time I speak, and the goal of it is to maximize our time. The reason we put forth the effort and the expense of giving you that study guide is we don't have long together, and I want to make the most of it. And it's a tool that can help you get more out of the message. And so please use it. And if you're listening online today, I want to welcome you to the message. Thank you for taking the time to listen. And you too can download the study guide at our website, capitalbaptist.org. Well, today we're talking about welcoming the lost. And this is our fourth message in this series based on Luke chapter 15. And the topic of this series is called Bring, and specifically, it's how to have a heart like God. We're going through a verse-by-verse study, and we're learning about the heart of God. We're learning about what God is like. What is his heart? And in Luke chapter 15, God reveals himself to us. And today we're going to be moving into the latter part of this chapter as we talk about welcoming the lost. Welcoming the lost. Now, as you look at this, you need to realize we kind of are moving through a process. This, this chapter is kind of chronological. Really, if you're going to have a heart like God, it kind of gives you a step-by-step process, and it begins with valuing the lost. That was our first message, and we learned about how that we need to have a value system that includes valuing the loss. And we learned about that from the first of the four parables in this chapter, in the parable of the shepherd with the sheep, and how there were 100 sheep, and only one of them escaped. Only one of them got out of the fold, but yet God said, leave the 99 and go after that one. Leave the 99 and go after that one. God showing us his heart, how he values the lost. And if you're going to have a heart like God, you got to value the lost. And then the second thing is seeking the lost. In that second parable, we saw that woman who had that one lost piece of silver, and how she literally tore the house up trying to find that piece of silver. She got down on her hands and knees. She cut on the light. She swept the house. I mean, she was gonna find that one lost silver, and indeed she found it. And from that passage, we learned that it takes effort. It's not enough just to value the lost. You gotta seek the lost. You have to do something. You have to be active in trying to reach the lost. You can't just sit back and hope it's going to happen. You got to do things to try to reach out to them. And then last week was loving the lost. There we learned about the heart of God and loving the lost. And we looked at what's the most well-known section. It's the story of the prodigal son and how we saw that in loving the lost. And now today we're going to talk about welcoming the lost. We're going to talk about welcoming the lost. This is one fascinating passage of Scripture, and I'm particularly excited about the message today because in over 30 years, over three decades of preaching and teaching, I have personally never done a whole message on what is called the elder son or the elder brother. And so I'm really pumped up about this and excited about this. And there's so much that we can learn from this passage of Scripture. It's really a neat section of the Bible where it has many, many different things to look at. There's lots of different angles here, lots of different things going on here that I find to be very, very fascinating. Luke chapter 15, let's read verses 25 through 32. Here we find a conversation that goes on between a dad, and that dad represents God, and the older son who represents us, okay? In verse 25, it says, through verse 32, now his older son was in the field, And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, notice that, as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Today, as we talk about welcoming the loss, let me begin by sharing a dream with you. Yes, I have a dream, okay? I have a dream. And I have many dreams, okay? In fact, I'm more excited about pastoring this church than I've ever been in 31 years. We have so much more to do for God together, and I'm excited about our future, okay? I'm excited about what the future holds for us, okay? I have a dream of pastoring a church where we reach and we connect with people that are far from God, and we bring them to Jesus Christ in Capital Baptist Church. I have a dream of, as a church, that we realize that, yes, this world, it seems like every day is getting more and more corrupt. And every day it seems to be getting more and more immoral. And rather than that being a negative, I view it as a positive, in that we can shine a brighter light into the darkness of this world. I have a dream of us reaching lost people. I have a dream of seeing these people come to Christ, seeing these people come to Capital Baptist Church, people that are far from God. I don't know if this person is here today, but I had someone tell me just recently in this series, they said, Pastor, I just want you to know today was the first time I've ever been to church in my whole life. This person, I don't know how old they were. I'd guess maybe 40 or so. I could be wrong on that. But, I mean, they were somewhat older, okay? I mean, they weren't a kid or whatever, okay? I've never been to any church of any type my whole life. That's people that I want to see our church impact. People that are far, far, far from God. And I want to pastor a church where people like that can come and they can be welcomed. Okay. That they can know that this is a safe place for them, that they can know this is a place where they can come and they can find hope. You know, that we can live out the truth of speaking the truth in love. I mentioned this recently, just, you know, we can't be all love and we can't be all truth, you know. The Bible speaks of a balance, you know, because if we're all love, we'll be liberal, okay? But if we're all truth, we'll be legalistic. And we have to find that balance. We're not going to compromise our message. If a person gets offended by the truth, you know, I'm sorry, okay? But we're not going to compromise the message for anybody, okay? We are going to speak the truth at Capital Baptist Church. But by the grace of God, we're going to do it in love, okay? We're going to let people know that we love them very, very much. And we care about them in a great way. And if people come and people go because we spoke the truth, okay, that's okay, okay? But if people come and people go and they do not feel that we love them, okay, that's not good, okay? That's not good. People that come need to be welcomed, okay? We need to value them, we need to seek them, we need to love them, and when they come, we welcome them. we welcome. This is so important. This involves our whole church. Did you know that? It starts at the front door. Our greeters and our ushers are so important. They are the first impression of Capital Baptist Church, okay? The second impression of Capital Baptist Church is you, okay? You. When people come and they sit near you or come close to you, whether you see them in a hallway or you see them in the auditorium or a classroom or wherever it might be, you are making an impression of who we are, okay? I am part of that, but do you know that most people, studies tell us that most people have already decided whether they're going to come back to a church before the pastor ever gets up to speak? There's studies that show that. Now, this is very depressing to me personally, okay? Because I spend lots and lots and lots of time and effort on my messages. But and most people, they're too mature, they're too nice or whatever. They're not going to just walk out and leave. They're gonna stay around, okay? But studies tell us that most people have already decided whether they're going to come back to a church before the pastor ever gets up to speak. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. We have to welcome the lost. We have to welcome the lost. No matter who walks in our doors, we have to properly welcome them. And may we continue to reach out and may we reach people that are very, very, very far from God, okay? Very far from God. Luke 15, 25 through 32 shows us how to do that. Now, this is a really cool passage. I mean, you could preach this passage just from a physical family aspect. You got all kinds of cool stuff going on here. Okay, I mean, this is you could do a whole nice sermon or two or three just from the family perspective. You got things like the older brother and the younger brother going on there, right? Okay? You got that whole drill going on. That's, you know, there's only two children, two boys in my parents' children, okay, they only had two kids, my brother and I, my eight-year-old. My brother's 8 years older than me. He's my older brother. Okay, I'm the younger brother. Okay, there's stuff to be said about all that stuff, right? You got the black sheep of the family, you know, the younger brother, the prodigal, and then you got the white sheep of the family. Families have that stuff. Does your family have stuff like that? Now, in our family, we had two white sheep, praise God. Anyway, no, okay, that's not true. You got sibling rivalry going on here. That son of yours, you know, you never threw me a party, you know. La di la da 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 da. Okay, you got that whole sibling rivalry thing going on there. Okay, you know, adding up, counting figures, and all that stuff. A great lesson to learn here is prodigal kids cause problems in families. They do. They do. You get to choose your sin. You don't get to choose your consequences. Okay, one of the consequences is prodigal kids cause a lot of pain in families. They cause a lot of conflict in families. They cause a lot of negativity in families. I mean, I can understand this older son in a lot of ways and what he's saying about what's going on here, okay? I get his perspective, okay? I get his perspective. You could just preach this whole thing just about the family, okay? But we're not going to do that, okay? What we're going to do is we're going to put this in the context of a family, but we're going to put it in the context of a spiritual family. And that spiritual family is called Capital Baptist Church. Now, in the Bible gives many different images of the church. And there are many wonderful concepts that we're like a building, we're like an army, we're a body. I mean, all these different images, but my personal favorite is we're a family. That's my personal favorite, okay? And I'll often say, you know, Capital Baptist Church, make this your spiritual family. That's like you'll hear me use that kind of verbiage because, you know, because that's just kind of my preferred image of the church, okay? Doesn't make it any better than the others, just the one I like personally the most. So that's kind of how I speak or whatever, okay? And I'm gonna communicate to you today about our spiritual family and how that we need to welcome the lost. And this passage tells tells us exactly how to do that, okay? And so let's dive in here. Let's go to page two of our notes, and let's talk about this whole concept here of how to welcome the lost. The first thing we got to do to welcome the lost is we have to be hospitable. We have to be hospitable. When people come to our church, we have to exemplify that we are a hospitable group of people, okay? Bottom line is we have to be nice to people, okay? Now, this is a major, major thing we got going on here, okay? Be nice to people. And be nice from the bottom of your heart. 1 Peter 4:9 says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. You ever been around people, they do the right thing, but they're complaining about it the whole time? People, you know, they do the right thing, they're hospitable, but man, they complain about it the whole time, you know. Why do it, okay? You know, if you're going to have to put forth all that racket or whatever, why you're doing it, okay? We need to be hospitable to people, and we need to do it from the bottom of our hearts. We need to do it in a nice way without grumbling or complaining about it. See, this older son was separated. The Bible says in verse 25, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Now, this older son has so many positive attributes. So many positive attributes. I mean, he really was, from what we can tell here, a really good person. A really good person. I mean, he was indeed a good person. I mean, we see he has a great work ethic here. I mean, he's out in the field. He's out working, okay? He's out working. And he's out there in the field, and I can just tell you from personal experience, that's not an easy thing to do, okay? I grew up in a family where pretty much every summer growing up, I spent a great deal of time in the field, okay? The hay field and all other kinds of fields, okay? And what I learned as I grew up was I did not want to go to the field anymore, okay? And that as quickly as possible, I was going to move to the big city, okay? Because personally, I would personally rather have a traffic jam than a cornfield, okay? Yeah, but, you know, if you want a cornfield, God bless you, okay? But not me, okay? Not me. I've been in that stuff too much, okay? It's depressing to me, personally, okay? All right, that was all free. But anyway, moving forward here, okay? And, man, you work in the field. It's hard out there in the field, okay? And so he's out there working. Let's give him some credit, okay? And so it's the end of the day, and it's time to come back to the house, you know. And he's walking along, and all of a sudden he's hearing this music and hearing this dancing going on. He says, wow, that's not normal around here. I mean, most days he probably came in, it was kind of quiet or whatever. And so he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. What's going on here, okay? And the servant said to him, your brother has come. Wow, what a day. Your brother's come. And because he has received him, key word, received him, safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Wow. Wow. But he was angry. He was ticked off. And he would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Can you just see this picture? Now, again, let me take a moment because, I'm having a hard time being balanced here, and I should be more balanced, okay? I mean, again, prodigal kids cause a lot of heartache in a family, okay? And I guarantee you this older brother, day after day, was having to live with seeing the pain in his father's heart, okay? And over time, he probably got some resentment about that, okay? And so he was mad at his brother. He was ticked off at his brother, okay? But what does the father do? The father goes out and he begins to plead with him. The father is pleading with us to be hospitable, okay? To be hospitable to those that have gone far from God, okay? He's pleading. That's the God we serve. That's the God of grace. He's a God of grace. And he's pleading. He's pleading with us. We're the sons. He's pleading with us to be hospitable, okay? The older son was separated. Now, let me give you another angle on this about separation. I think one of the things that happens in church is over time, we move from being, following what might be more holy living to becoming isolated in our lives. And the Bible does tell us to live clean. The Bible does tell us to surround ourselves with good people and things like that. But the Bible doesn't tell us to isolate ourselves. And I think a lot of times we confuse that, okay? And in John 17, 15, Jesus prayed this: I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. See, it's not about the sinner, okay? It's about the sin. It's not falling into sin, but the bottom line is, if we, listen, you've heard me say this, I think, every week. God uses relationships to bring people into a right relationship with him. God uses relationships to bring people into a right relationship with him. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18, 24, if a person is going to have friends, you got to be friendly, right? You got to be friendly. Now listen, you got to understand something. When people walk in our church, we so many times think they're looking for friendly church. They're not looking for a friendly church. They're looking for friends, okay? Do you understand that? They're looking for friends. They're looking for connection. They're looking for a better life. Okay, they come in with a need, an expected need. Okay, and we have to realize that. Okay, we have to understand that. And they've gone out in this world, many of them, and they have wasted their life, and they've done things they shouldn't have done. But they're starting to move back in the right direction. Okay. They're starting to head back in the right direction. And we have to realize that, and we have to be hospitable. We can't be separated. Understand the ministry. We have a ministry. And the ministry is reconciliation. We have a ministry of bringing people to God. The Bible says in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. This is one cool verse here, okay? So God does a work in our hearts and reconciles us to him. Now, what does that mean? He brings us to him. See, we had a broken relationship with God, didn't we? Why? Because of our what? Sin, right? He's a holy God. We're an unholy people. There's a division there. There's a brokenness between us. Jesus came, lived a perfect holy life, never sinned one time, died for our sin, rose from the grave to give us eternal life, and through Jesus Christ, we are saved. And the big thing is, we're reconciled, okay? We're reconciled. We're brought into a relationship with God. And then the Bible says that once that happens to us, we've been given, listen, a ministry of reconciliation. Now we're part of the team because, again, God uses relationships to bring people into a right relationship with him. Every one of us that came to Christ, almost every one of us here can maybe not name their names, but we can remember key people that God used to bring us to Jesus. Because people don't come to Christ, in a void, okay, or, without any relationship. Most people come to Christ. Listen, truly, most people get saved. They come to the person first because they see them and want what they have, and then that person shows them it's not me, but it's Jesus, okay? That's typically how it works. You have a ministry of reconciliation. You cannot separate yourself. You have a ministry, okay? And you're to be involved in the ministry. It says, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, listen, the word of reconciliation. We have to tell people that are far from God, that have a broken relationship with God, that there's hope, and that hope is Jesus, okay? We got to give them the word of reconciliation. We got to let them know God's not mad at you. He loves you, okay? And he wants to have a relationship with you, okay? He wants to have a relationship with you. Verse 20 says, we're ambassadors for Christ. We are his representative, okay? We represent him. Jesus, listen, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You have a ministry. Understand your ministry. And then Galatians 6:1 continues that thought. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are what? Spiritual. What are we to do? Restore. Restore. See, some of us, probably a lot of us, know people that are far from God that at one time they maybe even came to our church, okay? And what we have to do is we have to reach out to them, okay? Can I give you a hint about something? Okay, let me give you a little church culture. Can I explain something to you? Most people, when they leave a church, they will do something like this. They'll complain about the pastor, okay? Now, I have things I do that are complainable. Okay, don't get me wrong, okay? I'm not perfect. I do things you can criticize and not like or whatever, okay? I understand that, okay? And there's some things about you I don't like very much either, by the way, okay? So we're even, aren't we, okay? But I can tell you, after pastoring a church, okay, well over three decades, 90% of the time, okay, the real reason is their sin in their life. I'm talking about many times significant sin, okay? And what they're doing, most people are not going to say, you know what, I'm a drunk, okay? I got back into alcohol. No, they're going to say the preacher talks too much about money, okay? I'm a fornicator. I got back into fornication. I'm fornicating all the time now. No, I sat beside somebody in church. They weren't very nice to me or whatever, okay? Just realize that. And if you are spiritual, okay, now what does that mean, spiritual? It just means you are allowing the Holy Spirit to what? Control you, the fruit of the Spirit, okay? You are spiritual, okay? You are spiritual. What do we have as a ministry? To restore them. We're to try to reach out there and love them and care about them and bring them back, okay? Bring them back and help them, okay? Not kick them down, bring them back, okay? And reach out to them, okay? Be hospitable. Let's just be simple. Be nice, okay? It's not real complicated, okay? Just be nice. Number two, be humble. Be humble. People that are far from God need to come into church knowing that we have our own struggles too, okay? Listen, every one of us here, okay, I'm going to speculate here, okay? I bet every one of us in this room have done something this week that we would not want to be announced on this microphone today. I have. That'll keep your small group going at least a half hour. They wonder what he did. Wonder what he did. I bet he did this. I bet he did that. I did something this week I wouldn't want to announce from the microphone. Okay. How about you? What I'm trying to get across to you is you're not too hot yourself. Okay. We got to be humble. We're all on this journey of sanctification. And none of us have totally arrived. Every one of us are struggling with sin. Every single one of us. And here's this son, and he's got a problem. The older son was self-righteous. He was self-righteous. He says, so he answered and said to his father. Okay, here's his father pleading with him. Come to the party, son. Come to the party. Your brother's home. Come to the party. He's pleading with him to come to the party. And this is what he says. Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, and not my brother, this son of yours, as soon as this son of yours, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you kill the fatted calf for him. You know, have you noticed in this chapter, everybody's happy except two people or two things. The son, and I don't think the fatted calf was very happy either, okay? But you know, everybody else is really, really happy, okay? Everybody else is super happy, okay? That's our third point. I'm getting ahead of myself, okay? Be humble is the point we're on now, okay? Third point is going to be happy. Okay, all right. So what do we got here? We got self-righteousness. He exaggerates. Number one, I believe he exaggerates what the younger son did. And what I mean by exaggerated, he didn't know what he did. It says he went out there with a bunch of harlots, a bunch of prostitutes, paid for sex. Okay. Nowhere in the text does it tell us that, okay? I mean, this guy, as far as we know, I mean, they didn't have Facebook, they didn't have cell phones. I mean, he don't know what he's doing. Let's be real, he doesn't know what he really did. So he's exaggerating, you know? He's saying, oh, I went out there with a bunch of harlots, blew all the cash or whatever. Maybe he did, I don't know, okay? And guess what? You don't know either, okay? Just says he got into righteous living. He could have been some prostitutes. I don't know, okay? Nor do you, okay? And this is what we do to people. We judge them. I know what you're up to. You know, you scumbag or whatever. You know, be careful with that stuff, okay? Be careful with that stuff. And then I believe he over-exaggerates his own holy living, okay? I mean, he says, that's a pretty strong word, okay? I have never transgressed your commandments at any time. I mean, I don't know. My Bible tells me for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, okay? And I'm going to figure, this is like you saying to God, because again, the Father is a representative of God, symbol of God, okay? This is like you saying to God, I've never sinned, not one time. Not one time. What's that called? That's called self-righteousness, right? See, a big reason for this is we categorize sin. We do. You know, I find that in churches like ours, we have a big problem with like drinking and smoking, but we have a big problem with gossiping and overeating, okay? Let me say that again in case you missed that comment right there, okay? Man, we're all big about drinking, smoking, whatever, but man, we can gossip and gossip and gossip. Proverbs chapter 6 says God hates it. Hates it. My Bible tells me Jesus, he talked about hanging around with wine bibbers and gluttons all together right there, okay? Okay, let's move on here, okay? Let's move on, okay? I'm just trying to get you off your high horse and get you down where we are, okay? Because when people walk through those doors, they need to know we're struggling, okay? I mean, I get so many positive remarks because people will say to you, you're not afraid to get up there and if you only knew how much I was struggling. I'm just telling you a little bit, okay? People need to know that. People need to know that. People need to know, okay? It's part of welcoming them that, hey, none of us are perfect, okay? And we're all struggling, and we're all wanting to move in a good direction for the Lord, okay? Be humble. Admit your depravity. The older son was self-righteous. Admit your depravity. And then number three, be happy. Be happy. Psalm 144:15 says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. When people come to our church, if God is our Lord, we ought to be happy, right? Happy. People ought to come in here, and again, we're real, we're open, we're transparent, you know, but we're also happy, okay? I mean, people can sense the joy of the Lord, not because we're perfect, but because we have hope, you know? And hope ought to make you happy, okay? Hope ought to make you happy. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. The elder son was sad. He was sad. Verse 31, he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. Here's a dad. He's trying to balance out. You know, he does have this son that's been loyal and worked in the field and probably didn't do a lot of bad stuff. He wasn't perfect, but he probably was a pretty good son. You know, and now this son who's blown it has come back home, and just what a tender parenting moment this was. He says, listen, you know, you're always with me. You're always with me. And all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. He was just letting you know, I love you so much. I love you so much. But then he says, it was right. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. And you know what? It ends right there. We don't know what happened. You know, this is a story I'd love to have a sequel, wouldn't you? Okay. It just stops right there. Okay. But what we do know is the older son was sad. You know, Psalm 121 talks about when we go to church, we ought to be glad. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You know, when people come here, there ought to be a sense of gladness, not sadness. Again, I'm not talking about being fake, you know, but I am talking about the joy of the Lord, you know. I'm talking about an atmosphere where people know that there's some excitement going on, that God's doing something, and God is working, you know? And one of the things that can drain us of that is bitterness. I really believe this son here is really struggling with bitterness. And a lot of us today, you know, are sad because we have bitterness in our hearts, you know? And the Bible warns us, it says, let all your bitterness, and notice this, wrath and your anger and your clamor and your evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I mean, this is that son. I believe he has a bitter heart. I mean, the Bible says he was angry, okay? You know, you start with the bitter heart and that leads to wrath, that leads to anger, that leads to clamor. He's speaking evil about his brother. He's saying bad things about his brother. I mean, so many times. I mean, I personally believe bitterness is the number one sin of the church. That's what I personally believe, okay? And there's, you know, the whole idea of malice and everything else. God says be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Has your sadness left you because of bitterness in your life? I want you to think about that, okay? So here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. Let's join the party. You know, we've seen this. We'll talk about this more next week, the party that goes on when a person comes to Christ. But there is a party, okay? There is a party. And when somebody comes to Jesus, I'm telling you, man, a party erupts. So don't stay outside, okay? Join the party. And Romans 15:7 is the best summary of a welcome I can find. It says, therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Let's receive each other just like Jesus Christ received us to the glory of God. How can we welcome people? Be hospitable. Just be nice. Be humble. Be real, okay? Be real. And then be happy, okay? Just show the joy of the Lord in your life, okay? You know, just show the joy of the Lord in your life. I'm laying out for you a bringer challenge. And that challenge is this: each one bring one by January 1, okay? And I want to encourage you today, if you haven't gotten on board with this, most of you have, by the way. Okay, I'm going to tell you by next Sunday, I'm going to announce to you how many have, okay? It's most. It's most. Now, here's what I'm asking you to do. This is a statement of faith. You're just saying, you know, God, I value the loss. I will seek the lost, okay? I will love the lost. I will welcome the lost. I want to be a bringer. Okay? I want to have a heart like yours, okay? And God, I would ask that you would use me by January 1 to bring somebody, okay? Would you be willing to take that step of faith? Take out your Capital Connection card and turn it over, okay? And at the top, that's the first next step. If you would like to say, Dave, you know what? I want to be a bringer, okay? I want to be a bringer. Check that box. I will seek to bring one by January 1. Now, here's some other steps. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, okay? If you're the lost and you are far from God, but you want to be reconciled to God, you want a relationship with God, check that box. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, okay? Number three, you want to be part of the spiritual family. You don't just want to be an attender. You want to be a member, okay? You want to belong, okay? Okay? Check that box. I want to become a member of Capital Baptist Church. And then some of you are saying, you know, this is really good. God's erupted something in my heart. I want to learn more. Well, on Sunday nights, we are going to have a course where we're teaching about this, okay, in a deeper way, okay? And it's called Outflow. And this is an environment where you can come and ask questions, make comments, and things like that, okay? If you'd like to learn more about being a bringer, learn more about a heart like God, check that box to sign up for that class, okay? But what is your next step, okay? What is your next step? Will you take a next step? Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you so much for your word today. Thank you so much for this incredible passage, and we pray you'd bless it and use it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.